Balaram or sometimes Rama. In the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. People sometimes object when Rama is accepted as Balaram. But although devotees of Lord Ramachandra may object, they should know that there is no difference between Balaram and Lord Ramachandra. Here, Srimad Bhagavatam clearly states that Balaram is also known as Rama. Amen. In the word Rama. Therefore, it is not artificial for us to speak of Lord Balaram as Lord Rama. Jayadeva Goswami also speaks of three Rams, Harisaram, Raghupati Ram, and Balaram. All of them are Rama. Come on, Mr. Padai Krishna Krishna. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gaura Hari. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sri Gaura Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Pritata Bhavati Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Namo Namaha Shishi Radha Radhas Vini Kovata Vakita. So, these verses there are the main verses really in the 10th canto. In the beginning of the 10th canto, where it gets the point. In particularly interesting point in the first point, that explains that the men, the Lord says that Lord Balaram is currently in the womb of Devaki, which has birthed. Srila Prabhupada says, and Krishna is saying, because I'm going into the womb of Devaki, the Shesha incarnation, or Lord Balaram, has already gone there and made suitable arrangements so that I may live there. This is a very important point, and it's a very important point of principle, as we mentioned from time to time. That Srila Jiva Goswami discusses about different forms of the Lord and the relative to the Lord Krishna, whether they're full forms, partial forms, parts of that. It is quite silent. So Balaram is directly Krishna. He's the first expansion. Of all the different expansions, he is the closest Krishna. So anyway, Jiva Goswami raises a very interesting question, or not question, really, but just that. It's very interesting that he says, if you ask Krishna, who is God? Krishna says, but then he says, if you ask Lord Balaram who is God, he says, Krishna. He has the right, he has practically as much right to say that he's God. Because he's the first. Of course, he is not the source. That very, very using the absolute and ultimate origin or shelter. But he is as close as he is. So therefore he has every right when he is asked, who is God? Say, me or Krishna at me, something like that. But he doesn't. He says, if Krishna is God, and if you ask Lord Balaram, who are you then? He says, well, I am Krishna. And this is being illustrated here in this little description that we read, that Lord Balaram went into the womb of Devaki, and just temporarily, I mean temporarily in the sense that it's been another womb before the normal course of pregnancy would be considered to be. So for a relatively short period, it was a womb of Devaki. What was he doing there? Why didn't he just go straight into the womb of Rahini, who is described here, Prabhupada is quoting the Lord in the purport, now he should enter the womb of Rahini, his eternal mother. So why not go there from the outset? Why bother going through this whole process is rather extraordinary and certainly somewhat dramatic. That first of all, he's in woman deity, period. But then he's transferred in this somewhat dramatic way of there apparently being a mystery of deity. Although actually it was Yoga Maya who had dragged him out of the woman and placed in the woman Rohini. So why do it like? Why not? Seeing Rohini is the eternal mother, Lord Balaram, why not just let them go straight there? It would be very simple. Why this whole process going into the loop of a daily not as and then have them dragged out apparently? It was very disturbing different. And then they say, well, Srila Prabhupada here, or quotes, as saying that he's already gone, Balaram has already gone into the womb of Prabhupada and made suitable arrangements so that I can live there. This is Lord Balaram in the mood of the devotee, that he has gone into the womb and made certain preparation so that Krishna will be very comfortable there for the period of time that he'll reside there. So this is Lord Balaram as the devotee. And even though, as we said, he's so much equal to Lord Krishna, he's so much equal to Lord Krishna. But he is very much so much in that serving and serving his basic master is a mixture of parenthood as the older brother. Older brother is parental position. Older brother becomes takes the role of father. So, plus, in the mood of friendship, a good point. But he's very much in the mood of a devotee and making different arrangements to please, satisfy in different ways. Plus, even though he's so much but always thinking in second lesson. So we see in all these chapters in the Ten Canter that in Krishna is prominent, is completely prominent. In virtually all cases, 21 pastimes of that sort of killing demons or dealing with people who have become demoniac in attitude. Out of the 21, Krishna deals with 19 of them, killing most of them, correcting you, Lord Indra, Lord Brahma, Kaliya, correcting, killing the others. And Lord Balaram deals just with two of them. Then Krishna and Pramatura. Otherwise, he just skips and lets Krishna kill the demon and talk. And then, so that's in Vrindavan Leela. And if one reads on further through the Mathura and Dwaraka Leelas, then you see that in principle, it's the same situation, another round, is almost always in the back. And Krishna is very much in the foreground. Although Balaram is a list of person. Of course, it is all a great thing. But this is also so much in this book as a person. And that he doesn't want. He would rather not have the problem. And he's so happy. Krishna has the problem. And he's so satisfied that this is. There's an interesting discussion of Srila Prabhupada, which was told to me by Sonya Sira. Very well. There was a discussion or even an argument between Madhu Devista Prabhu, who just left this world days ago, very, very wonderful disciple, Jim Prabhupada, very, very dead, and the great Lala Yamuna, who was also one of the most early disciples, truly an exceptional disciple. Srila Prabhupada also does not long ago. So they were having a discussion and it came almost like an argument trying to establish different positions in regard to the positions of the Balaram. And Madhu Devista Prabhu said, they're equal. They're just equal. There's a difference in color, but it's just. It really makes no difference. As persons, they're equal. But Mother Yamuna disputed that. She said, no, they're not equal. Because Krishna is the only one who enjoys Srimati Radhana. So like this back and forth. And a little heated at the end. And then His Holiness Tamala Krishna goes down. Who at the time was Srila Prabhupada's personal secretary, Prabhupada was there. At the time, he took the matter and took them to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada explained to Prabhupada that here we have Madhu Devista Prabhu, and he feels strongly that Krishna and Balaram are equal. They're just equal. There's a difference in color. It's insignificant. And she looked up and said, "He's right." And then Sri Ramakrishna goes on and said, Mother Yamuna, she says that there is a difference. There's an important difference. That Krishna is the only enjoyer of Srimati Radharani. And Srila Prabhupada said, "She's right." And Sri Krishna goes on and said, "But Srila Prabhupada, how can they both be right? It seems they cannot both be right." And Prabhupada said, "You're right." And Sri Krishna goes on and said, "But Prabhupada, how can we understand the truth here?" And Prabhupada said, "You decide." Quite a question. Anyway. Yeah, the course of history. What? This. But it also brings out the point that what's the difference? Is it an issue? Is it not an issue? There are apparent differences. Do they matter? Are they really different enough to really take that stand? Different. And rather than what you decide, basically just so the thing is that Balaram, he is in that room, and he's buried in that room, and plus he's so close to Krishna. First of all, he is the older brother, and then he's the first expansion, and they're just practically together the whole time. You read the Rasatantra and you'll see that except for the Rasatantra, that they are actually together all the time. Whatever is happening, if their interactions with the parents, they're there. When their interactions with the cowherd boys, they're both there. In Mathura and Dwarka, they're both there practically all the time. In every pastime. And Balaram is so much in this mood of serving Krishna. And being so close to Krishna, he knows Krishna so well. When you live with a person for years, then you get to know that. And which can be very difficult. Can be extremely difficult. Depending on the degree of flexibility or fact that they may require. Like maybe a real. But certainly one thing, at least if you're intelligent, if you're attentive, then after spending so much time with that same person, literally every day, you know that. You know that person, how they think, how they feel, what they may do in practice. So Balaram is like this book. He knows very, very. And he loves Krishna so much. So therefore, in that sense, it is said sometimes, Balaram is the original spiritual master. Because he just knows so much about it. Basically. Spiritual master, their position, see, and then to know Krishna. It's very substantial. But Balaram really is also omniscient. So therefore, Balaram is the original spiritual aspect. Sometimes it's also said Srimati Radharani is, because she also knows, and not just knows, meaning associates with so much, but she is part of Krishna. She is actually part of his person, and therefore she certainly knows very, very well. So either can be taken as original spiritual master in this book. Let us look at Lord Balaram a little in this way. He's the original spiritual master. He knows so much about Krishna, and therefore he can always help the devotee to understand Krishna and to understand, for example, what is Krishna doing to me in our lives, in the lives of the devotees. Everything, if the devotee is sincere and kind in this, then Krishna is certainly governing, overseeing, permitting, and even causing to happen certainly. Whatever happens in the life of the devotee, there's nothing which is just happening in some abstract or circumstantial way. For the devotees, everything is going on under the supervision of the Lord. But sometimes we, as aspiring devotees and very incomplete devotees, we may become puzzled or even a little bewildered when some sexual thing happens. We may not be able to understand. Sometimes even we may become confused, and even sometimes some devotees at least think possibly if they become influenced by Maya a little, they may doubt Krishna, question him, why? How are you doing like something like these things happen? But if we take shelter of Lord Balaram, because if he just knows, then Lord Balaram will help us to understand what is going on in his role as the original spiritual master. In those, the descriptions of the different demons and people who became demoniac in Kanto in Vrindavan, those two demons who were killed by Lord Balaram, Venkatasura, and then later Palambasura, they represent particular anatta. All of those demons represent certain anatta, but the ones who were killed by Lord Balaram, they represent very powerful anatta. Essentially, Devakasura represents the mode of ignorance, basically in its entirety, and Palambasura represents essentially the mode of passion, basically in its entirety. Others, the other, anathas, which the other demons who were dealt with, killed by Krishna, they represent different important anathas, of course, but in a sense, they are really more like sub-divisions, sub-steps of either passion or ignorance, or maybe combination. They can be seen very easily as coming under the heading of either the mode of or the mode of ignorance. But Devakasura, Palambasura, they really do seem to represent more like just ignorance in a general sense, in a broad sense, general sense. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes some points in this regard in his discussion of the subject that the endowment which the demons killed by Krishna represent, those endowments, they can generally be overcome without the devotee making any special effort to focus on the particular endowment, do something specifically counteract like that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that at least in many, many cases, if the devotee simply continues on seriously chanting the holy names and cultivating Krishna consciousness, then those anathas will just sort of be dissolved and they'll go away. By the potency of the devotee's ongoing devotional service. But these anathas that Denikasura and Pralambasura represent, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in these two cases, the devotee has to make a special effort. Focus on those anathas, deal with them, and figure out different ways to mold his or her life in order to specifically address those enough, get out of samadhi, get out of panchakrama. And the essence of that process, of that program which the devotee must develop, the essence or the foundation of that program is that the devotee has to take shelter of Lord Balaram. But not just directly take shelter of Lord Balaram, of course. One can certainly do that by prayer, which is a very Christian way, which involves addressing Lord Balaram. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the devotee mainly does this by taking shelter of the spiritual master, who is the representative of Lord Balaram, who is the original spiritual master. And by the guidance and inspiration and shelter of the spiritual master, if the devotee does this very nicely, then the devotee, by accepting the instructions of the spiritual master, takes shelter in different ways, the devotee will be able to overcome passion and ignorance and make very good progress in Krishna consciousness. So there's a significant point, that's very significant, which is there. And today we're having our initiation ceremony, and the devotees are being accepted. Well, of course, who already have been accepted, but the other four are being accepted in our disciplic session, in our parampara, under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada and the spiritual master. On this day, Lord Balaram is so it's very appropriate. It's a very appropriate time to do this. And it's a very appropriate time for all the initiates to really consider what is happening, what they're doing, the role and place of Lord Balaram in this whole process which we're undertaking right now. And praise Lord Balaram. Srila Prabhupada, of course, has already given us everything. Certainly, he's given us the basic process of Krishna. And the essence of that in Kali Yuga is the chanting of the holy names of the four. When Lord Chaitanya was initiated by Srila Ishvara Puri, he asked Lord Chaitanya, "What should I do now?" And Ishvara Puri told him, "Harirnam, Harirnam, Harirnam, Harirnam. The Lord has given us, given us, given us." We've all heard that verse so many times, which was emphasized so strongly just that one must chant the holy name. There's no other way, no other way, no other way to achieve all of life in this Kali Yuga. So the devotees being initiated today and that natural foundation should understand that very clearly. But that through the process of initiation, because for being initiated, obviously, the devotees are already chanting Hare Krishna already for some period of time, in many cases for a number of years. And it's not like, even though we understand we must see Hare Krishna at the time of initiation, but in another sense, obviously, the devotees have already received the contract, already initiated, and with a certain degree of success already. Otherwise, how would it be possible to maintain following the principles for 6 months, 1 year, 2, 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is? It's hardly even possible unless someone just who is just so over this kind of material nature. But they are few and far. So, yes, in order to be able to follow the Vedic principles for an extended period of time, and particularly to do it happily and without being very serious talent from time to time. But one has to take shelter. One has to take shelter of the spiritual master. One has to take shelter of the process of devotional service. Otherwise, it can't happen. And generally, it will not happen. So the devotees have already received the Hare Krishna mantra and been putting it to very good effect for some years, to all these, for quite a number of years. But now, still it is said that at the time of initiation, one receives the Hare Krishna mantra. And so there is significance there, receiving the mantra, receiving the sanctified chanting, and chanting under the shelter of the spiritual master. At least our experience is that devotees who are initiated and who take the initiation seriously, that they do find, there's so many cases, say, how they find that their chanting improves long after the sanctification. So there's certainly some empowerment in the chanting of the holy names comes through the initiation. And Srila Prabhupada, when he would give first initiation, generally, about always, but in so many cases, he would emphasize the great need to avoid the ten offenses. Because if one does not, somehow if one does not avoid the ten offenses, then one's progress in devotional service will be slowed down considerably, and if the offences become strong enough, one may get severe setbacks in one's spiritual life. Leave Krishna consciousness, active involvement in Krishna consciousness, like this happened. And Lord Chaitanya said, Bahu Janma Hariya Dhanana. But this Bahu Janma Hariya Dhanana. Even if you hear and chant the holy names of the Lord for many lifetimes, but if you are in with the ten offenses, then it may take many hundreds of life before you achieve the fruit of the church, which is Krishna. So Prabhupada emphasized this a lot, and we do also, and we'll do it right now. Ten offenses, without going into all the details. First, blaspheme the devotees who dedicated their lives to the holy name of God. Second, to consider the names of demigods such as Lord, the Lord of Brahma. To be equal to or independent of the names of Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. Fourth, people from two backgrounds. This can be a challenge. That they still have salt around the corner. And it's not right. So that second offense is there. That's the fourth one. And then third offense to disobey the orders of the class. Fourth offense to blaspheme the Vedic religion. Fifth offense to consider the glories of Jagannath Krishna. Sixth offense to give some mundane interpretation. Seventh offense to consider activities on the state of Jagannath. Eighth offense to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna to be one of the auspicious ritualistic activities of the leaders of spirituality. Ninth offense to preach the glories of the holy names to faithful people, and tenth offense to not have faith in the holy name and to maintain material attachment after understanding so the instruction better. Plus, it's also the offense to attend while chanting. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur does make the point that this could say the 11th offense is something like a super offense, in that if you commit it, if you're not attentive while you chant, then it means your mind will be vacant. But your mind cannot really remain vacant. And if you're not filling it up with Krishna consciousness, don't worry. Maya Devi is just waiting. Oh, really? Wait. No. Just fill it up with nonsense. Or activities, thoughts about things connected with the ten offenses. So therefore, that offense of being in the ten has a type of a so we ask all of you to please be very mindful. Try your best. We have been around. We know. But try for try your best to avoid and if you do good, as much as you can, the more you can, oh, the more you will feel enriched by just so happy. And we'd ask all of you nice devotees all here on this day, please give your blessing to all these devotees being initiated today. Arrivo!
Arrivo!
This is Francis, he's from what is living in our center, ISKCON center temple in Johannesburg, and is studying at university. But he's living there and doing service there, and he's serious about his Christian consciousness. Please tell us what are the four regulative principles you're vowing today to follow for the rest of your life into.
First, says, it's okay with me.
Very good. And what's the minimum number of rounds of Hare Krishna mantra chant every day?
Minimum.
So, we're going to give you a name beginning with a different letter because in Sanskrit there's no letter here. It's a pa, but there's no actual E. It's a sort of it's a British function. So I can't give you a name beginning with F, but I'll give you a name. Very nice name beginning with P, which will indicate, it indicates that you're a servant of the great devotees, which is a very nice situation to be in life. From today on, you'll be known as Paramahansa Das. I'm not saying you're a plan B. But you've got to serve those who are. But you've got to follow in their footsteps. Tell us what are the four regulatory you're vowing today to follow for the rest of
your life.
What's the minimum number of rounds of prayer, Krishna? We're going to give you a name of Lord Chaitanya, which indicates that he is the very son of his mother Sachi. From today on, from today on, you'll be known as Sachi Dulal Das. Sachi Dulal Das Prabhu Ki. And now, first of all, well, we have two ladies to see the go by age. First of all, the Purusha. This one of the four what's the minimum number of rounds? So, on behalf of you. We're going to give you a name, beautiful name of, it can either be applied to Srimati Radharani or Yashoda actually. It's a particular form of the name which indicates they are the queens of Raja, Raja Mandala, Sridharana. From today on, you'll be known as Rajeshwari. There we go. What's your age? 16. It's, only 16. Young, to be initiated, she's the second youngest devotee out of initiated. Youngest. Mamati Manjari, probably knows she visits here. time to time she was 50. And you, how long have you been chanting 16 hours? 5 years. Seriously. Okay. So she was chanting 32 rounds for how long? Parents ordered because they were afraid she wouldn't get sufficient attention to her schoolwork. But anyway, in other words, she's a very sincere person. Respect and appreciate that. Actually, you know, there's a quote in the second chapter, but it's the verse which is saying, talking about those who can't recognize the deity, they are with the eyes of the so Father, in the Bible there, at least the first half, Father explains about how families who are going to worship deities, all the family members should be involved. They should have a full program from 4 in the morning till 10. Father says this very clearly and lists out the different things they should do, all the different RTs and programs. And everyone should be involved, really involved, in that deity worship. All the children, the parents. And Prabhupada says there that any family members who are more than 12 years old should be initiated and should take part in deity worship. I remember when I gave initiation to Avati Manjari, she was 15. She had been chanting 16 rounds since she was 13. And I mentioned her paperwork. Madhava Maharaj Bhakti Vishwamba Madhava interjected in his colorful way that, you know, I said, you know what, this is 12 years old. Mark said, oh, she's 3 years late. Anyway, okay. So, by way of picture. So, Dan, let me tell us, what are the 4 regulative principles you're vowing to take to follow for the rest of your life? And what's the minimum number of rounds that I wish the mantra will chant? Okay. So she has the name Janavi from childhood because the family have been devotees for many years. Many, many years, probably. Before you were born. So I asked her, do you want to keep the same name? And she said, no. And so I asked, well, do you have any ideas, any suggestions, any names which you might feel attracted to? And she said, no. Well, not exactly no. She said, I should decide. So, So I thought to Janavi is referring to the Ganges, Janavi, the RT song, on the banks of the Ganges. So that's the Ganges, even though the Ganges, Dhamma, shall it be, is very exalted and very wide. But there are higher bodies of water. The Yamuna is actually much higher. And around Vrindavan, there are different kuns and lakes and so on, which are also very, very high. So I thought to sort of promote you from Ganges level, keeping in mind about some body of water, to promote you to a higher level and give you the name of a sacred kun. Is that okay? A very sacred kun, one of the most sacred and special kuns, and today, one of the most, if not actually the most beautiful, all the kuns, because it's the supervision of the devotees. From today on, you'll be known as Vrinda Kun. Thank you.